Probably getting sick of me talking about this, but I'm not. Oh, everybody that shook their head no gets brownie points today. All right. I'm liking it. You're too late. Yeah. It's too late now. Just a real quick recap. We've been looking at a number of adventurers and sort of asking the question, what kind of an adventurer am I? Noah, you might remember this. What was, is it up there already? Oh, they're all up there. Oh. All right. I can't ask you, do you remember what kind of an adventure Noah was? Persistent. All right, you saw that, yeah. And we talked about how the fact he just kept at it. He was faithful over the long haul. 100+ years he kept at this God adventure that God had invited him on. Rahab, probably of all the stories that we've looked at, hers is my favorite. She was an eager adventurer. We talked about how the fact that when she was presented with this opportunity to get on board with what God was up to in the world, wow, she was excited. She jumped right on that chance, got right on that. And not only that, but she was able to convince her entire family to join in this adventure. Again, an amazing, amazing story. And she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. I love that. Esther, a risky adventure. We talked about how the fact that she put her life on the line to advocate for people who did not have a voice. And I challenged you, how can you become advocates for folks that don't have a voice? And in our culture now, especially the undocumented, we still have brochures out there. Feel free to take those along, minister to folks, give those. The church needs this message, all right? Then last week we talked about a reluctant adventurer, Jonah, a person that we can also connect with, somebody that has attitude issues and runs the other way from God. Jonah, quite a character, quite something. This week we're looking at Paul. Paul, I'm going to describe as a passionate adventurer. Whatever Paul did with gusto. He put 120% of himself into anything and everything he did. And when you're doing it right, that's okay. But when you aren't, not so good. So the question that I have for you today to kind of help you get in perspective, kind of in the mind of Paul a little bit, the question is, have you ever been convinced that what you were doing was right only to find out it was wrong? Think about that for just a second. Have you ever been 100% convinced that what you were doing was right? It was God's sanction. You were on God's side. You're doing His work. Only to find out, maybe not. Well, that kind of helps us get into the mindset of Paul and his God-guided adventure. Now, Acts chapter 9. Again, just want to remind you, please bring your personal Bible so you can jot notes and things like that as we're going through this. Acts chapter 9, if you're not familiar with where that's located, it's in the New Testament. You have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts is next. Acts, think of that like Luke part 2. Basically, that's what it is. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then a short time later, he wrote kind of a sequel, which is what we call Acts. Now, we're going to read the first couple verses. My observation on this, though, is my mission or God's mission? That's really the question. Am I on my mission or am I on God's mission? And we see that in the first couple verses here of Acts chapter 9. I would encourage you, again, especially the small groups that are studying this, to read most of chapter 9. I think I stopped at around around 20-ish, something like that. But there are some references in chapter 8. Paul makes references again in other chapters. I think near the end of Acts, he makes some other references to his work before he met Jesus. But chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. And just let me clarify, I'm saying Saul, I'm talking about Paul. They're the same person. All right. I'm just going to use Paul because of how we know him more. Saul was kind of his pre-Jesus name. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, and this is in Jerusalem, and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, and the way is before the term Christians began to be used, and it wasn't a whole lot longer later that that happened. But at this point, the followers of Jesus were referred to as followers of the way. That's how they were known. And so if he could find either men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now, breathing out murderous threats, I don't want you to think that Paul is just kind of being mean to Christians, as if he doesn't like Christians. That isn't really what's going on here. It's not that he's just kind of got a grudge with them. Paul, keep in mind, he sees these disciples in reference to Jesus. How does he see Jesus? He sees Jesus as a blasphemer. Now, in the Jewish faith, that is serious. That is about at the height of, in terms of sins. I mean, this is seriously bad. He sees Jesus as a blasphemer, someone who blasphemes the name of God. And again, there's a whole tradition about they don't even say the name of God because it's so holy. So Jesus is a liar. He is a blasphemer. And these people that he has managed to gather around him and are following him and now are spreading, okay, through the synagogues, he sees as a threat to true Judaism. They are a threat to what the church of his day, you might say. Like a heresy that is spreading, like a poison that is spreading through the synagogues. And he's fired up about it. He is not going to sit by and watch this happen. And so he goes after the Christians. He is convinced he's on a God-ordained mission. And so one of the first questions that I want to have us think about, and again, small groups can go into this a little bit more deeply, am I actually working for God or am I working against God? Am I working for him or am I working against him? And here's the scary part. A lot of damage can be done before you realize you're working against God. Paul had done a lot of damage by the time that Jesus intersects with his life on this road to Damascus. We hear it in Jesus' voice, picking up with verse 3 now of Acts chapter 9. As he, that's Paul, was nearing Damascus on this mission, a brilliant light from heaven suddenly beamed down upon him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, sir?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." So Jesus obviously recognizes that Paul has done a lot of damage. Now, we don't see it all detailed here. Later, I think it's maybe Acts 22, 23, and again, the small groups that are working on this can do some research. He references other cities he's been to, and the number, not the numbers precise, but the fact that other Christians are already, men and women, in jail because of his mission that he's been on. So a lot of damage. We know that he approved of the death of Stephen, who was one of the leaders in the Jerusalem church, the stoning to death. He approved of that. We know that. He was willing to go just about anywhere in order to grab a hold of Christians and get them in prison. And one of the things that I have never considered before was after he becomes a follower of the way, how many of the people he put in jail stayed in jail? Never thought about that before. How much of the damage that he did to the church, what kind of impact does that have? You can't take that back. I don't know that he could have gone to these other, to these various prisons in these various cities that he, you know, he put people in and go to them and say, would you release them? They'd probably look at him and throw him in jail. So that had to have made some kind of impact. In fact, I'm guessing as his life flips around that he probably invested so much of himself, maybe because of some of these kind of memories. So a lot of damage, that's the point. A lot of damage can be done, and Paul did before Jesus met him. Now, to kind of translate all this into today, if I'm on my mission, what kind of ways can that happen today in my life? Well, by waging war against another church member. That happens. Now, this is a small church. We're pretty close-knit. I'm not aware of any kind of wars being waged against one another here. I haven't heard about it, so I'm thankful. But as we grow, that could happen. All right? Another thing, by falsely accusing the leader so that he or she is removed from their ministry position. That's another way to cause damage, to kind of be on my mission. By refusing to submit to spiritual authority. By just, I will do my thing in church. I'm not going to do what a leader tells me to do. I'm not going to stick with the mission and vision of the church. I'm going to do my thing. That's another way to carry that out in today's world. By orchestrating this church split because you're offended about something. That happens on a regular basis. More churches end up closing their doors because there's been a split. The ministry is ruined, and the one that goes off doesn't necessarily survive either, and the damage to the kingdom of God is simply amazing. Another way that we can do this is by refusing to reach out to people that we label as unworthy. They don't belong in church. That's another way you can do damage. And again, you're kind of, you're playing God. I'm on a mission. I'm judging. That's what Paul was doing. He's saying, those people of the way, they don't belong in the synagogue. We've got to get them out. Well, we can have the same mentality. We can look at a person, put a label on them. Again, whatever kind of label that might be, say, they don't belong in church. I'm not going to welcome them. I'm not going to pray for them. I'm not going to see life change happen for them. That's another way to do damage. Another one, by conducting a spiritual witch hunt against those with whom you disagree over doctrines or practices. Well, that's not how you do church. And if you don't do church the way I do church, then we don't want you around here. That's how we can do damage. But, however, just like we saw last week with Jonah, observation number two, God is gracious. Amen? He is gracious. And God uses a believer in Damascus by the name of Ananias to carry out this grace that God has towards Saul. And we picked this up in verse 10. Now, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you arrive, ask for Saul of Tarsus. There must have been two of them there. I'm not really sure. Or God just wants to make it really plain to Ananias who this is. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again. And I don't want you to do it right now, but I want you to go back and kind of read Ananias's response. But put yourself in his place for a second. He knows Saul of Tarsus. Word has gotten out that Saul's on his way with a bunch of other folks, and they're coming after people like Ananias. And as Ananias hears that Saul is praying to get his sight back, you think Ananias might be going to himself, well, if he's blind, he can't find us. This might not be such a bad deal. You know, he's a bad man. He's out to get us. He's out to kill us. He's going to put us in prison. So Ananias is having to struggle with this a little bit, and there's a dialogue there. Pick up at verse 15, but the Lord said, go and do what I say. And now God kind of gives Ananias a little deeper insight into what's going on here. He says, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. So that interchange there that I didn't read about, God understands. Ananias is struggling with this. Makes sense. Then verse 17, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, listen to this, brother Saul, can you imagine? Try to put yourself in Ananias' sandals for a second. Yeah. You got that. That's good. I see a few smiles. All right. They didn't wear shoes. Okay. They wore sandals. All right. So put yourself in his sandals. This wasn't easy. This wasn't easy. And see, we'll get to this in a little bit, but Ananias understands God is sending him on an adventure. So Saul can be on an adventure. So, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road. So you see the connections that are being made, that Jesus is making there, and now Ananias is helping Saul, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you may get your sight back and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. That is graciousness. All right? And Ananias trusts God. He hears what this is all about, okay? It's not just that Saul's going to get his sight back. He is going to be on mission for me. He came here on his own mission. I've got a mission for him, and you are going to be a part of making that happen. Wow, wow. And what's cool is Ananias got on board with God's vision for this. Remember, Jonah last week didn't. Did he? Jonah stayed in his attitude issues until the story closes. He never got excited about the mission. But Ananias does. He's okay, all right, brother Saul. Now, keep in mind, God is always willing to offer forgiveness if we're willing to be honest and to repent. And that's what Saul does. In those moments, and 3 days he goes without food and water. He's in prayer. Wow. He has just come, in a sense, face to face with this risen Jesus who appears to him on this road. And now he's learning more about his mission, this new vision, actually being on a God-assigned mission. Now, as I said, Ananias, I'm thinking, is probably struggling just a little bit, not just because of the danger element that Saul or Paul represented to the believers. I wonder, and again, I would like to talk to him about this someday, because my sense is that he has labeled this Saul as someone that God would never want to be associated with, to have as a part of the church. I think we can do the same thing. You know, we draw the line. God, here's the line, and if people go across that line, they can never be forgiven. And we've got all kinds of labels for those folks, right? We do. And so I'm kind of guessing that maybe Ananias has looked at Saul and said, God, how could you ever forgive someone who persecutes and kills and imprisons Christians? How could you ever do that? That doesn't make any sense. There may be other kinds of trespasses that we say, you know, God can never forgive that. Things like hurting innocent children or hurting innocent animals. How can God forgive somebody who does that? You know, and so we kind of have these different lists, these different lines, and when we all draw different lines for, you know, who God can offer forgiveness to and who he can't. We draw up pictures in our mind. We conjure up these images of who God wants in the church and who God doesn't want in the church. And people that we determine God doesn't want in the church, we have no intention of reaching out to. I'm not going to build a bridge with that person. If there's anything that we can see in this story, the story of Rahab as well, God says, I'll take anybody. I'll take anyone. Anyone who's willing to come to me and say, look, here I am. Here's my past. Here's my history. Here's my stuff. Will you forgive me? Jesus says yes. You didn't step across the line of no forgiveness. That's the good news, folks. That's the good news. Whoever would have picked Paul to be a on fire Christian, to be a fully devoted follower, to be a person who does missionary trips and reaches thousands, a person who wrote roughly one third of the New Testament. Whoever would have picked Paul to do that? None of us. None of us. All we would see is this guy is an enemy of us. Again, reminder, God sees potentials that we can't see, we'll never see. God sees potentials. I love that. When I think that, to me, is just a core piece of the gospel. It excites me. I love seeing that kind of grace in action. God sees potentials that we can never see. He says, you know what? I can make you something if you're willing to let me. All right, observation number three comes out of chapter 9, again, verse 18 through 20. Same passion, different person. All right, same passion, different person. So after Ananias prays for him, instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. That must have been kind of weird. Oh. And he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Now he's been without food and water for 3 days. Think about this. And I don't know where they did the baptism or whatever, but it says afterward he ate some food and was strengthened. So immediately he is baptized. Then it says he stayed in Damascus with these believers for a few days. And then verse 20, what do we see? And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, the very place he was going to arrest people. He goes, they must have been a little bit nervous when they saw him come in. Let's be honest, all right? But here's this guy preaching Jesus convincingly. I mean, what? Wow. So the same passionate person, okay, but a different person. The same passion is there. God works through the way he made us. Saul was a passionate guy. He was. 90 miles an hour, hair on fire, that was Saul. That's the way he was. But now he's on a God-guided adventure. I think back, you know, after Pentecost, immediately, you might say, Saul got into action. He started persecuting immediately when that whole spirit movement broke out. Now, okay, the Holy Spirit has got a hold of him. Immediately, he begins now carrying out his message to the church. And in the process of being this passionate person that he is, what happens? What happens? Verse 22, 23, Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, the Jewish leaders did what? Decided to kill him. Wow. Can you imagine? The very thing that he'd been doing is now being done. He's the target. He's the target. He probably knows. Okay, they're the ones that the letters were assigned. they're the ones after him now. He was going to be working with them to get these people from the way. And now they're after him. So, just a reminder, again, the whole series, God is at work in the world. He is. He invites us onto these God-guided adventures so we can be a part of what he's doing. He makes every one of us unique. Every one of us has a different way that God can be working in us and using us to reach different people. You know, I can't reach some folks that Mike can. Or that Gene can. God uses each one of us in these kind of ways to reach different folks, to do different kind of assignments. So God begins to work with us. You know, we reread in the Old Testament that he forms us, begins to form us in the womb. And then at some point, he calls us and he equips us and he pours his spirit into us and calls us on these God-guided adventures. And the point of God's creative genius is He has people designed to do a wide variety of adventures and activities, a wide variety of assignments. So, series wrap-up, when God invites you on an adventure, that's what we want to wrap up today. Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as my messenger to my people? Who will go for us? And this is Isaiah. He says, Lord, I'll go. Send me. Probably one of the most quoted verses of Isaiah. They capture, and that's why I wanted to use it here. Those words capture the heart of a willing servant. They do. Someone who's saying, okay, God, I recognize you're up to stuff in this world. I see some of what you're doing. I want to be a part of it. Now, I wish that was true for all of us. If every one of us here was at that place, we would have a hard time finding a place to sit, wouldn't we? We would. Because we would just be on fire doing it all out there. Some of that is happening. Some of us are at that place, but some of us are still kind of sitting on the fence. Sitting on the fence in a couple different ways. And we'll talk about that for just a moment as we wrap up our series today. Some of us are sitting on this whole fence of this whole brokenness thing. Letting Jesus be my Savior. I mean, the basic entry point. And that's what Saul was dealing with over those 3 days. No food, no water, just dealing with the reality of, okay, this person that I've been working against and I thought I was doing the right thing has made it pretty clear I was on the wrong mission. He's coming to grips with that. Now, for us, I've been on my mission. Am I willing to get off of my mission, confess my sins to God, and let Him take me on a mission? Am I willing to do that? So I want to challenge you today. If you have not yet said, you know what, Jesus? I'm willing to do that today. I'm willing to let you be my Savior and forgive me. And then the next challenge, some of you have done that. A lot of you have. A lot of you have. But the next challenge then is to go the next step and say, okay, will you, Lord, I want you to be the leader of my life. That's another challenge. That's a tough one. And so some of you kind of sitting on that fence. Yes, I want my sins forgiven. Yes, I want to spend eternity with God and with all the other people that have said yes to Him. But I kind of want to get there on my terms. I've got some things I'm doing and some adventures I've got planned for my life and my goals and all this kind of stuff. I'm not so sure I want God to be the leader of my life. I want to challenge you about that today. Let this be the day that you say, you know what? Enough. I'm going to let God be in charge. I'm going to let Him lead me. All right? Some of us, as we've gone through this adventure, we've talked almost every week about the issue of labels. We started it especially with Rahab. If you have some folks in mind, or groups of folks, that you just think don't belong in the church, I want to challenge you about that today. I want to challenge you about that. Just say, Lord, you already know this, but, you know, I've got a hard time with. And just let him know. Just, he already knows. Just be honest with him about it. And just ask him, will you take that away from me? Take this out of me. Heal me of this. Help me really see people the way you do. Okay? So I want to challenge you with that. If that's an issue for you, please do some business with God about that today. And then last, some of you have said, yes, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I want you to lead my life. But kind of hanging on to the nest a little bit, hanging on to the comfort zone, and just, I kind of want to go on an adventure, but I'm not sure if I'll like the ride. You know, the whole comfort zone. I kind of want to be in control. I'm scared. I don't know if I can, and it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about God and His Spirit and His power. I just want to challenge you today just to kind of let go. Just be the little bird who flies out of the nest and says, I'm not going to crash and burn. You know, it may be a rough ride on the way down the ground, but I'll grow wings and I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I just want to challenge you. If that's where you're at today, just do some business with God. I'm going to close in prayer. Worship team's going to be on their way up here. If any one of these has just intersected with you today, I want to just encourage you. Take some time right now to let God speak to you. If you want to do that where you're at, that's great. If you want to come up here and spend some time at the altar praying, that's fine too, wherever you want to do that. But most importantly, just do some business with God today, all right? Heavenly Father, this has been another series where our lives have been intersected through different ways than other series. You've touched different issues in our lives, in the life of our church. And Lord, for those right now who need just to be honest with you and ask you to be their Savior, Lord, may that happen in this moment. Through simple prayers, prayers like, Lord, here I am. Forgive me. Forgive me for keeping you out of my life, for just keeping you at arm's length. Please take me into your family today. Or people saying prayers, something like, Lord, I've let you be my Savior, but I've hesitated to let you be my leader. I've been scared. I've not trusted you. Lord, today, I'm giving over control. I'm getting out of the driver's seat. I'm asking you to be my leader. And for those of us who are praying about these labels that really interfere with how we look at people, with how we reach out to people, Lord, please hear these prayers as well. Prayers of repentance. Prayers of asking for forgiveness. And for those who just need that little nudge today, Lord, encourage. Help each person who's ready to take that next adventure, whether small or large, to see that it's possible. Lord, open their eyes even briefly to the potentials that you see, the possibilities, the dreams that you have for the person, for the adventure. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to let go of that comfort zone and step by faith into what it is that you're doing and you're inviting us to join in with you. Lord, thank you for this series. Thank you for ministering to us, for making us more fully devoted than we were when we started. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.
Pastor David, thank you for your spiritual guidance this morning. Remember to pass in your communication cards. Pass them to the center. They'll be collected. Remember that we need to take all of our trash with us as we leave the pews. There's more food out on the foyer. Whatever hasn't been eaten, please eat. And the Lord, He is awesome. And we want to praise Him this morning. Let's sing this song as a celebration to God. Awesome is the Lord Most High, as we close.
Great are You, Lord, mighty and strength. You are faithful as You will ever be. We will praise You all our days. It's for Your glory we offer everything. Raise Your hands, all Your nation. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Where You send us, God, we will go. You're the answer we want the world to know. We will trust You when You call our name. Where You lead us, we'll follow all the way. Raise Your hands, all Your nation. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise You together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, how awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise Your hands, all Your nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise You together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. Raise Your hands, all Your nations. Shout to God, all creation. How awesome is the Lord Most High. We will praise You together, for now and forever. How awesome is the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. How awesome is the Lord Most High.
Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Good stuff. Good song. That's a great song the Lord gave us to close out this series. Not to close out this series, but to close out each week with. I'll go where You send me. That's awesome stuff. We'd like to collect the cards now. If you'll just make sure they're in the middle. You already have them all? Fantastic. All right. Just a reminder also, if you would like any personal prayer this morning, please come up and see me right after the service, and I'll be happy to pray for you. And candy, don't forget to pick up your candy this week. We still need how much? A lot. We need a lot more. All right, we need a lot more. Yes, sir? Awesome. All right, fantastic. Archie, a lot of you don't know that Archie has been working every Sunday morning. He's here replacing all the rubber feet on tables and chairs. You wouldn't think about that necessarily, but he does. He sees those things and, wow, I got to fix that. And he's just been at it, steady. And you know what? That's inspiring to me because there are some of us here that are a lot younger than Archie, and we're not doing a whole lot. Okay, let's just be honest about it. And here he is, doing what he can to continue to be an asset, to add value to the life of the church and what God's doing. So we're excited about that. Thank you, Archie. Awesome. All right. See, that's an attitude right there. That's a good attitude. We all need to have that. I need to have that kind of attitude sometimes, too. All right. Sometimes I get to be like Jonah. I admit it. All right. Pray for me. Oh, thank you. All right. So anyone that would like personal prayer, you can come on up in just a moment. But before we take off, please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the filling of the Holy Spirit be with you today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. Bring somebody with you. We'll see you next week. All right? Anybody wants prayer? Come on up.